The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. 7:06 in the morning right here on this wonderful February, Friday the 13th. That ought to tell us something. Don't let Charlie or whoever we have in here today eat the earphones, okay? He's looking at them already. Good morning, everybody. It's Friday the 13th. Good morning, Savannah.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I am wonderful.
Great. You know what? It's phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. What's the weather look like for this weekend? I think it's going to be beautiful.
Currently, it is 55 degrees. Going to get up to a high of 75, low 47. Saturday is going to be a high of 76, low 47. And Sunday is going to be a high of 78, low of 47. So it is going to be a gorgeous week.
Well, you know what? It is February, midway through February. In fact, tomorrow is the midway mark of February. And we haven't had any winter. Why don't we have winter, Savannah?
You know what? My whole life I've only experienced harsh winters, so this is pretty unfamiliar for me, but I like it.
You like it because you come from the Dakotas and up in Wyoming and all these places where it snows and does all these other things. But, you know, we need, you know, even though our drought is down 10%, because of the rains, we need more. I mean, we're still in drought. And now they're forecasting mega droughts for the Southwest and the Midwest. Mega droughts that could last for 50 years. Yeah, how about that? So here we are, hoping for a little bit of rain, and they're forecasting after 2050 the mega droughts. Toward 2050, I'm not real concerned about that. I mean, I'll still be riding, doing these things, but still, I think it's something. You know, when we talk about global warming or whatever it is, global warming, I believe is real. I believe that. I believe global warming is real. You know, I think that our globe goes through all different types of weather changes and environmental changes. And as somebody was saying, we were studying this, but it says that it happens very quick, too. Once it starts, it just goes for it. It's not something that kind of like, I'll do a little bit this year, a little bit next year. So when it starts, it really starts and it just magnifies itself. Anyway, good morning, everybody. It's Friday. Gosh, a lot of things happening. Valentine's Day sale. It's a fifth annual Valentine's sale with various vendors and artists at the Good Times Pizza in Old 44 Drive in Palo Cedro, California. Please attend to support local business owners and support. It's sponsored by Devon Washington. And that's going to be. Never mind. Somebody gave me one of these. Never mind. You missed it. It was last week. So. Thanks, Savannah, producer.
Okay.
Just hands it to me. Okay. Anyway, hey, Spencer. It's okay. Don't get too excited. Don't go down there because that's not what's going to happen. But we have Spencer, though. Spencer, what's happening with – I'm not even sure what this dog's name is.
His name is Takai.
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 And what's that mean?
And I'm not sure what it means, to be honest with you.
Takai looks young.
But it's a unique name, and it fits a unique dog just
this
like
Takai.
This
is a Takai. Unique dog. It is a unique dog.
Takai's about a year old, and we have him as a border collie mix. He's probably got a little pit bull in there.
Oh, you think?
Just a little bit, but I'd say he looks more border collie.
You know what? He looks more border collie. But he's a sturdy dog, and he's beautifully marked, brown and white. And curious, like you can't believe. And the best part about him is he barked at Just Bob. You know, right there, when the dog looks at him and sits down and cocks his head and goes, I'm not sure about that. Maybe we should give him to Just Bob. Anyway, Okay, now how much does this dog weigh?
So Takai's around 50 pounds.
He's rated for at least 8 and above, right?
5 and older.
5 and older, yeah. Because so he's a gentle dog, but he's a
pup.
He's only a year old.
I mean, he still needs a lot of training, but I mean, he knows all of his fundamentals. He just needs to calm down a little bit. But this is the type of dog right here that could go on a 10-mile run with you every day and it wouldn't even faze him.
Yeah, kill me. I don't know, but Savannah, you could take him out for a 10-mile run every day.
No, probably not.
Maybe a 5-mile.
Yeah.
Even 5-mile. I mean, heck, he'd be happy even going on a 0.5-mile run every day.
And he, look at him. He's looking out. He's looking through the window because, Bob's out there teasing him. Bob goes by and he looks in and Takai just looks at him like, oh, what are you doing out there? He's a good-looking dog, strong, and he doesn't look pity. Really?
No, he really doesn't.
He doesn't look pity at all, in fact. He just looks like – look at him. He is just loving on you. Okay. Now, how do people get this dog?
So you could stop by the shelter at 7449 East Side Road, or you could give us a call at 241-1653.
He is just smiling and just wants to get in your lap.
You know, and he has been at our shelter since last October.
No.
Yes, this dog has been at our shelter since October. That's 4 months. It's amazing that dogs like this stay at our shelter. I mean, because he doesn't look pit bull at all. He's a great dog. He just needs someone that's going to give him a little bit of time and teach him some boundaries.
You know, this dog's got blue eyes and just came over and just licked my hand.
One brown and blue.
Yeah, one brown and one, is it blue and brown?
Yes.
That's kind of weird, but he's white-faced and he's got brown, just he's kind of like, you know, brown, kind of a, not dark brown. But a light brown markings, a beautifully marked dog. He just came over and looked at my face and is very, very nice and licked my hand.
Unless you're Bob.
Okay. And now he's looking at Savannah because he's saying, I like her too. I want to go over there and lick her face. Okay. One more time. What's the number?
It's 241-1653.
All right. Okay. Everybody, it's going down. Let's keep our record going here. There hasn't been one animal that hasn't made it to a home. Since we've started this, and wants to take the eraser with him, right? So it looks like it. Okay. Bye, Takai. Bye, Smith.
Thank you for having us.
Hey, we're going to be right back after these messages. Carl Linda Bot, KCNR, 1460.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. My wife, Kathy, and I are seeing a big drop in fuel costs. A lot of our customers are seeing the difference in their fuel bills. We have a lot of you picking up ethanol-free 93 for all the chainsaws, weed eaters, and lawnmowers, thanks to Al's Saw Shop. Gary and Josh are the propane kings. They fill bottles like they're on a NASCAR circuit, no waiting. Johnny and Beth are still doing a lot of heater work, so call in and ask about the free estimate if you're thinking about trading up. Sherry is doing a bunch of pay-forward accounts, so give her a call, and that's working very well also. In Corning, see Robin. In Weaverville, talk to Joe. And in Redding, the rest of us. Northern Lights Energy, where real people still answer the phone. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
You've got to help me. I don't know if I'm going crazy or if my car is possessed. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. The owner's ordeal began after a collision repair, resulting in a car that had a mind of its own. It would suddenly pull violently left or right, but only when he was alone. He had taken the car back to the shop that repaired it. It was test driven 8 times. Nothing happened. Nobody believes me. They look at me like I'm crazy. Just minutes before he arrived at Coachmaster, the pulling struck again. My inspection revealed necessary framework and wheel alignment had not been corrected from the collision. At Coachmaster, we stock hundreds of blueprints. With this evidence, we proved the owner was not crazy and the car was not possessed. The insurance company authorized us to correct the vehicle. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
over 38 years, Kent's Meats and Groceries have proudly served their loyal customers, providing USDA choice meats, including organic and nitrate-free products, Prater Ranch Natural Premium Beef, ham, bacon, sausage, smoked and processed in their own facility, fresh quality, locally grown organic produce, and so much more. This week's Kent specials include Folgers Coffee, $8.98, Kent's Bumbling Bugler, 750 milliliter Red Blend Wine, $14.98, Lean Pork Shoulder Roast, $1.48 per pound, Lean Old Fashioned Flavor Corned Beef and Summer Sausage, $6.98 per pound. In Kent's produce department, you'll find tender asparagus, $2.48 per pound, 98 cents per pound navel oranges, and first of the season white corn. Kent's is the home of Cappy's Deli for party trays, salads, side dishes, sandwiches, and special orders to round out any meal, including this week's special, authentic Italian flavor rigatoni. Check out their cheese case featuring over 30 choices of the finest premium natural organic cheeses from the Loletta Cheese Factory. Kent's Meats and Grocery at Cappy's Deli. Open 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days a week. 1 mile south of the Reading Airport next to Windsor Gardens Nursery on Airport Road.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl with the bot. It is 7:16 in the morning. Thank you. 7:16 in the morning, February the 13th, Friday the 13th. You know, man, during this time here, while I'm prattling on here, find out some stuff about Friday the 13th. You know, where did it come from? You know, what are some of the big things? Friday the 13th means, you know, in some cases you don't even want to get out of bed. There's some people that are so scared of numbers that it's unbelievable. But obviously Savannah and I are not in that. If we had, you know, the dog came in, we didn't get bitten. I mean, you know, that was, we're throwing ourselves out there. Hey, you know, the weather is brought to you always by Shasta Gas Propane, where our customers are warm friends, locally owned and operated, senior and veterans discounts, 365-3793 for Shasta Gas Propane. We're going to have beautiful weather over this weekend. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry. That's right. Leonard is, you've got a day, guys. He's closed on Saturdays. But you have today to head on down to 2225 Hilltop Drive, right across from Sierra Gibbs, and buy the perfect Valentine's Day present for your loved one. There you go. The perfect one. He's got them all. Opals, emeralds, diamonds, rubies, estate jewelry, everything you can imagine. Watches, rings and brooches. You got it all. All of it from Four Winds Jewelry, right here in town at 2225 Hilltop Drive. Open till 4:30 today. So get down there and buy. You need to. You know you need to. Because you want to make up for anything you might possibly have missed at Christmas and anything that's happening in this year. So, okay, a tribute to veterans at Parsons Junior High. Veterans and other guests are invited to attend our annual tribute to all veterans on Thursday, February 19th at 8:45 at Parsons Junior High School. Afterwards, veterans are invited for a light brunch. Also on Saturday, February 28th, which is out 2 weeks from this Saturday, is the Veterans Advocate of the Year for the Shasta County Veterans Affiliated Council. They've selected the Veteran of the Year and the Organ Group Advocates of the Year. I was honored to be part of the group that the committee that picked them. But you're going to have a great time. You're going to be able to honor some of the ones that really give to our veterans. It's only $15, and tickets can be purchased at Classic Cafe or the Shasta County Veterans Service Office. Okay, let's go to the phones. Ruth, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Carl. How are you?
You know what? I was feeling pretty good yesterday, but yesterday afternoon I started coughing again. And so I thought, you know what? I don't know what's, you know, this thing. So I just kind of like buried myself, and I'm feeling better today. So maybe I've finally gotten rid of this daggone thing.
Well, you
isn't that weird?
Like,
isn't that weird? Because I don't
be off for a week.
Well, you know what? I don't get sick. I've never got. You know, I just don't get sick, and it's been like a decade or more that I can actually ever even remember being sick. And then I get this thing, and you know, I don't miss work, but it kind of like drags on you. So anyway, okay,
you're spreading it around. Rob Plotty had last night at the town hall meeting had what, you know, sounds like he's got exactly what you have.
Well, you know, he had it like 3 weeks ago. I think he gave it to me, and then like I said, you know, what it does is after you think you got it licked and you go back to work and you all, and it kind of like it swings in this wide circle and it comes running right back at you. So anyway,
my husband had it for weeks. Anyway, Rob did a great job last night in spite of the fact that he had a cold. I was truly impressed. the town hall, to me, was it was a success. It really opened some eyes. The statistics that he had showing the crime rate, the influx of crime when we did the AB 109, the uphill graft from Proposition 47, and then a complete understanding of the homeless and or the transient problem. He dissected it. He was very articulate, and I think the impact. I sat in my chair, just listening to him, and felt I kind of felt a little perplexed. Number one, that the that we have this big problem, and I don't know why, but it just seems like it's just overwhelming and taking over the city, and that do we have, you know, what do we have to do as a community to fix this thing? And yet when he was talking with the limited resources that he had, it seemed like so many people were involved in solving this problem and solving the issue, and I felt a sense of, hey, I think we can do this, in spite of not having the resources, in spite of not having the cops and the money. I really felt somewhat hopeful that, you know, we could get a handle on this transient problem.
Well, one of the things is they when he was on the show, he said they talked to 188 people, and like some of them refused to comment. But they've come from all over, as far away as Massachusetts and Mexico.
Florida.
And we are in Florida, Massachusetts, Mexico, Florida. Some of them were stranded here. They got this far and they just couldn't get any further. You know, a percentage of them. Another percentage came back to, you know, because their parents are here or friends, and then got kicked out of the house. And then some of them came here, about 37% came here for the services. So that's a third of them, any way you look at it. It's a third of them that came here for the services, which was what we're offering. Another great thing. And then did he show a diagram or a map of where most of the illegal camps are?
He did. And
if there's a waterway, there's illegals on it.
I was so stunned by this whole thing, because it is pretty much surrounded by the, you know, the Deep Canyon, the one underneath Mercy behind Indian Wood that they're going to clean up this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But along the waterways, and of course I've seen them on the trails, and one of the points that he made was the fly shop brings in tons of.
They bring in 30,000 visits. Okay, let's think about this. 30,000 visits come in from the fly shop a year. Think about that. Think how much money is being spent there. And what do they say?
And well, what he said was that you know, they go, they're on the river and they're in these boats, and then they see all this garbage along the Sacramento River and all these homeless camps and underneath these bridges. And that they see that, and they think, hey, this isn't a safe place to be. And he's gotten letters or emails from folks that were here saying they're not coming back unless this is cleaned up. And
it's not that these people want to live here. It's not that, well, some of them might, but it's not that they're going to move here. But they can pick. There's plenty of places to go to spend their money. And let's think about it. Somebody flies in to fish here. You know, they may fly into Sacramento, they may even fly into here. They're going to, if they come in from any distance, they want to spend 3, 4, 5 days here. And when they do, they're staying in the hotels, they're eating in restaurants, and they're using our services here. Now they can go other places. Excuse me. They can go along the Snake River. They can go along different places. You know, they can go to Idaho or Wyoming or Colorado or any of these places. We have great fishing here.
Right.
And when they come down the river and they've got people urinating in the water, you're going through my front yard, or just horrible camps out there with people fornicating on the riverbanks. This isn't good. And so the question is, well, then how do you take care of this? How do you clean this up? And it takes people, and it takes a will. It takes the will of our elected representatives to do this.
Well, I think you're right, Carl, and one of the things that I kind of walked away with yesterday and found very interesting is that the Good News Rescue Mission and the change in their mentality, and that they want to be good stewards of the community, and they want to have the people who they are helping at the Good News Rescue Mission. They want them to be committed to the community as well. So if they're going to receive services now, I guess they have redrafted their plans and their business plan to have these people assist in helping cleaning up some of these projects that are these homeless camps. So they're not only getting the services, but they're going to require them to give back to the community. And I thought that that was a real profound change in that they're not just getting. They're not just being the entitled group and taking these services and being a problem in this community. So
well, that's a good idea. At least, you know, have them working. You know, if you're going to take services, then work for them. I mean, my gosh, you're getting helped. There's nothing that says you're not healthy enough to go work someplace.
Exactly. And then the other thing that they said was that these people, if they violate some of these rules, that they will know, you know, that the guy that runs it gets an alert to his phone if they somehow violate their rules, and they are at risk of losing their benefits with the homeless shelter. So I thought that was, you know, these people don't want to lose that benefit, so there is some incentive for them to do well.
I would think so. You know, one other thing, too, is the when they mentioned, you know, changing around the sending them home, you know, I can't remember the name of the the program, but Joe Wong's playing a big part in this, is being able to send these people home. You know, we might have to go back and change how that's being done, because from what I understand, you know, it's set up in the way kind of like San Francisco is. We don't send them unless they've got a place to go to and that they can prove they're going to someplace. Well, you know, maybe it should just be, maybe we should just do is say that, look, let's send them home, or let's send them back to where they came from, because they're stranded here, you know, and that they, you know, they want to go back to their home, and then let them, and let's help them with that. Let's give them tickets to send them home, not to a homeless shelter, but send them home. You're from Florida. I want to go home. He says, but you know, my parents aren't especially taking me, but that's where I'm from, and I really want to get out of here. I want to go home. Well, then why don't we send them there?
Well, you're exactly right, Carl, and those people that they can send home and they do, and that they won't be coming back, or they have no incentive to come back,
right?
Because they were stranded here, which is good, but that's less, you know, well, a third of the problem. So then you have, you know, the folks that are here because of the marijuana, you know, during the marijuana season.
And they're trimmers, and they make some money, and then they hang around, and they beg and make another couple hundred bucks.
Suck off the services that, you know, are offered in this area. I mean, it's a complicated problem, but, you know, I know the chief is sick, the cops are sick of it, the people in this community are sick of it, and we want it stopped. And everybody's, Chief Paletti is saying, you're the silent voice. We need to
stop being silent.
Louder.
You need to stop being silent. We all need to go down there and fill up the city hall and fill up the board of supervisors and just say, look, enough is enough. You people need to, you're talking about this 8-month plan to come up with. Fine, that's great. How about some ordinances in between that keeps people from, you know, from giving money to people that are panhandling, you know, in the medians? You know, that's illegal. How about making no city line? And don't say that, oh, well, you know, we've got to figure it out. You just take a look at other states who have these statutes and see how it works for them, and then just implement them. And then let's start making people, you want to give out food, fine. You can't do it in public places like the parks.
Exactly. And then you have this hope ban that I didn't even know that this even existed, where these people go to private property where these homeless encampments are and hand these transients new clothes, bicycles, whatever they have in their van. They hand the stuff to them that ultimately ends up being garbage because they don't take it with them. They don't use it, but they take it. And then
400 bicycles. It was between 300 and 500 bicycles they found. 300 to 500 bicycles. Come on. You know, that they just pick up.
Exactly.
This is
ridiculous.
It's, you know what? And the thing about it is, the city council needs to do something about it. If I was on the city council, and I am not running for the city council, but if I was one of those people, I'd say, you know what? Let's make it illegal to hand out free food in the park. You know, you want to, you know, like they have things like Cowboys that have a, you know, that sell tickets and people have bought the food and they come through. I got no problem with that. No problem at all. You want to give away stuff? You want to give away free food? Fine. Do it on private property. Don't do it in our city parks.
Exactly.
I mean, that should be easy to do. That should just be an easy ordinance to do, that we you will not be handing out anything like food for free, blah, 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 whatever it is, you know.
Yeah, and they don't want to get
unless you get a permit. Unless you get a permit every time and it's going to cost you X amount of dollars.
Yeah, you can't sell lemonade on the corner without a permit, but yet these people can go hand out food in the park. The one thing that they didn't mention, and I know you got to take a break, but and you can talk about this after you come back. But is that habitat that they're wanting to that they're planning on putting in this area, a habitat for the homeless? Well, when you look at the piece of pie of the third cut, it's not going to do anything for the people that won't accept the help, and it's not going to do anything but create a bigger problem with our transient situation, because they're saying it's going to help. It's going to give us a place to put some of these homeless people. Well, it's not. It won't have anything to do with.
Yep. It's just another reason to come to town.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'll let you continue the conversation on. And
thanks, Ruth. I'm glad. You know, thank you for calling in and weighing in on this, because the chief was on the show and was talking about it, but he didn't, you know, he knew that he was going to be talking about out there. But I mean, this thing is something that unless the people really get up and get off their, you know, get up on their hind legs and say, you know what, why are you letting them give away free food in the park? You know, if you're going to, you know, do it, fine. Pay a permit every day. You know,
right.
And make them go in every day to get a permit. Make it hard. Make it so that they have to do it on private property. Do it at your own church or do it at your own business. Wherever you do these things, have them congregate there, because trust me, they can get there if they want to.
I truly believe that we do need to have a tax increase. We do need to this two-thirds vote thing, and people really need to understand the impact of not having the funds available to take care of this stuff. So we do need to talk to our council. So
yeah, well,
anyway,
I think that's
have
coming.
A great day, Carl.
All right, thanks, Ruth. You too. That was Ruth Angel. She and Kurt Largent have a show on Saturdays, and is very, very active in our community. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages.
It's that time of year again for the 33rd annual Reading Gun Show, March 7th and 8th. Saturday hours are 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday is 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Holiday Inn Convention Center, 1900 Hilltop Drive here in Redding, California. For more information, you can contact Jones's Fort at 222-3223 or Eagles Landing at 222-8556, and all proceeds go to the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 17 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta County. We've been blessed with over 4,000 customers that have chosen us to be their propane supplier. Our motto is, our customers are warm friends. Speaking of warm, summer is gone and fall is here. Now is the time to consider your propane service for this upcoming winter and give us a call at 365-3793. The price difference could be significant between companies, but price should not be the only consideration. Safety is our first priority, so we perform safety checks when we set a new tank. If dealing with a locally owned, family-operated company is important to you, then please give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. Give us a call and let us call you one of our warm friends.
For a tax pro who not only understands taxes but can review your investments to help lower your tax bill, call Tom Wood, Certified Financial Planner with the Advice Center. He specializes in tax preparation for businesses and investors. If you have a business or you've lost a spouse who took care of the taxes and investments and you want an experienced, compassionate advisor, call the Advice Center at 244 244- 7526. This month, Tom's offering a free investment tax review and a financial bingo evening at Tortilla Flats Restaurant on February 25th at 7 p.m. Tom will be joined by estate planning attorney Deanne Parker to answer your tax and legal questions. For great food, fun, and a chance to ask how to avoid probate costs, or if you need a trust, call 244-7526. That's 244-PLAN. For experienced tax preparation, a free investment tax review, or to attend our financial bingo event, call 244-PLAN or go to theadvicecenter.com. Securities offered through Royal Alliance Associates, member FINRA, SIPC.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, we have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night in the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation with clean, comfortable cabs. Give us a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Stood together, heel and toe, to defend the Alamo. You may ne'er see your loved ones, Travis told them that day. Those who won, too, can leave now. Those who fight to the death, let them stay.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Those who want to fight, let them stay. That's right, you want to leave, leave. But those who want to save our town, who want to fight and take our town back, take our city back, control what's happening around here. You don't do it by leaving. No. Nema. Never. We stay here and we hook and jab. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by, you know what, how appropriate, Bastiani Arms, located on Larkspur, our friends over there, 2539 Larkspur. Go down to Bastiani Arms. He's got great guns on sale this week. Ammo, anything you could possibly want. John Bastiani and Freedom and customer service. You know what? You can't ask for more than that. You know, it's along with freedom comes liberty, and with liberty you have to defend it at all times. And Bastiani Arms is your should be your firearms dealer of choice, because locally owned, locally operated. Give them a call, 222-8222. Find people down there at Bastiani Arms. You know, I play that song, you know, about the, you know, the Battle of the Alamo. You know, maybe a little tongue in cheek, maybe not. But let's go to the phones. Coach Bob, you usually have a pithy comment.
A pithy. How do you spell that?
P-I-T-H-Y.
Happy Friday the 13th, Colonel.
Yeah, happy Friday the 13th. Yeah, Savannah's researching things to find out why are we so upset about Friday the 13th. I frankly forget about it, but, you know.
Well, I heard something on the news this morning said that there was three or four major catastrophes happened on a Friday the 13th. But I'm sure that for every one of those catastrophes, about 800 million good things happen too. So anyway, why in the world can't people who are panhandling with a sign down at the corner of I-5 and Cypress, why can't that fall under urban blight? You know, I can't have a car up in my neighborhood jacked up on car jacks. I can't let the grass overgrow and have weeds and stuff. It's urban blight. I get tagged by the city.
Well, you know what? You know what they could do is, you know, if we had enough highway patrolmen, they could probably, as they're sitting there, because it's on that thoroughfare, is come up there and tell them to move. And, you know, but the only thing is, you'd have to have somebody probably stationed there all the time. And,
yeah, that's
because
probably the reality.
Yeah, because then, okay, let's arrest them because they didn't move. Okay, what are you going to do with them? You know, here's the problem. And this is what we run into is that, you know, I was talking to some highway patrol guys the other day, and they were talking about the, you know, when somebody steals a car. Under this new Proposition 47, you steal a car, and even then, they can pick you up, and you end up going down there, and a lot of these things just become misdemeanors, you know? And, you know,
wow.
The joyriding or something like this. I mean, their hands are tied under these new laws, and the bureaucrats are saying, oh, look, it's working. It's working. We're having fewer recidivism. But no, that's not it. They can't catch them. Are they not showing up for, they're not showing up for court, or these crimes that are now misdemeanors. Oh, look, we have less felonies. Well, it's because they're still committing the same crimes. They're still committing the same crimes. They just call them something else. It's like if I changed your name to George. Oh, look, there's George. It's not true.
Well, and by the same token, if we make the crime of murder no longer a crime, then we no longer have a murder problem.
There you go. You know what?
It's easy just to spin that away.
Yeah, we don't have a car theft problem. We have a car borrowing problem. Somebody borrowed.
Right.
There's a lot of people out there borrowing cars and not bringing them back. Oh, but they're not stealing them.
I thought theft of more than about $300 in value was a felony, but I guess a car.
I think it goes up to $950 or something. I'm not sure.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but they were saying even then that, you know, as long as there's no violence and none of this other stuff, they can get turned loose. Isn't that weird?
Oh, hey, what a warm and fuzzy society we've turned into.
Hey, look, you've been around here a long time, right?
Quite a while.
Hey, do you remember this girl in a box?
Yep.
Well, I know this was before my time, but it appears that this girl in a box convict, the guy that that took her and was sentenced in 1985 to 104 years in prison, has had his sentence reduced. And he's coming up in April to determine whether he should be granted parole.
Yep.
I mean, this
pretty interesting, huh?
Yeah, I mean, how can that be? I mean, he kidnaps this girl for 7 years, tortures her, keeps her in a coffin-shaped, you know, box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. Well, I can't wrap my head around the whole thing that his sentences would be reduced to the point where he could ever be eligible for parole ever. There's no until, just ever. I can't imagine a system that works like that. But there it is.
Well, there it is. Okay, Coach.
Thank
Bob.
You, Carl. Have a great 13th.
I am. I'm having so far so good. You know, with the station still up in Savannah. Savannah, have you found out any things here on the 13th? I got a lot of things to talk about, though. But what have you found out there, kiddo?
Well, you know, they didn't really celebrate Friday or, like, know about Friday the 13th until the 19th century.
Mm-hmm.
But they say the day Friday has in history been unlucky, and the 13th number, there's superstition behind the number 13.
Okay.
So apparently 12 means completeness, and then 13 means, like, evil.
I think something like the Knight Templars were all assassinated on this date by the king. That he had them go out after the Knight Templars and who were, you know, on a religious thing, and he had a lot of them executed during this time frame.
Mm-hmm.
Was that part of that? That's why I remember reading that someplace.
Yeah, and then it says if you cut your hair on Friday the 13th, someone in your family will die. Those are some of the myths.
Oh wow.
Yep. Don't get your hair cut
I'm not
going
to get my hair cut today. No, I was going to get my hair cut today. Come to think of it, so I'm just, you know, I won't. I don't go into those things. Are you superstitious?
You. Not at all.
You aren't? You don't wear like Lucky Charms or anything when you're climbing or anything like that?
No.
Nope. Because you believe in God.
God. Yep.
That's it. God's your lucky. God's your lucky charm, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Okay. Hey. Okay. Let's get into some other things here. Congress voted unanimously, and Obama signed a bill to assist in fighting the terrible epidemic we have of veteran suicides. 22 veterans a day commit suicide. Now this is all veterans. It doesn't mean ones who are in combat or, you know, it could be World War II, it could be Korea, it could be, it's just all veterans. But 22 a day commit suicide. You know, when you think about it, that, you know, the amount of people we've had in war in the last 13, 14 years, and there's no end in sight, by the way, my friends. And they come back, there's no jobs. The unemployment for veterans, especially young veterans, is horrendous. It's like 1 in 4, maybe even more than that. And then, as you've been finding out under these VA scandals where, you know, it's, you know, lied, you know, you know, delay and lie until they die type things. So in the Oakland area, then down in, you know, in Phoenix and other places are fine. It doesn't mean that there aren't really good VA centers out there. There are. And the people that you're in the VA centers. So, but still, there are still these problems. So this bill is passed to add more mental health people to the system, to be able to get people to be helped more. The transition assistance, which is very important. You know, most places you get a week of transition assistance when you're getting out of the service. You know, they tell you about, you know, here's the VA and here's all these things that are available to you. You know, you get a, you know, final physicals, you know, you got to check in, you got to do these things. Well, most people don't. They just leave. And, you know, in some cases they leave with, you know, with some severe trauma. Now, some people leave that had severe trauma when they came in, and it hasn't helped any when they leave. But at least this bill, which is the first, it was unanimously passed in both the House of Representatives and the Senate, and it's on the president's desk. And it was bipartisan. Everybody's in there for the signing of this bill. The bottom line is we need to help. We need to help this. We need to get our arms around the suicides of veterans. You've got to give them hope. We've got to be able to get them. And a lot of it is jobs. When they come out after defending their country and they've had jobs that show, you know, that they've shown all types of great responsibility, and then they come out and they can't get a job flipping burgers for whatever reason, including businesses that read into this, oh, post-traumatic stress, we could have a problem. You know what? That is such a non-reason to hire. But our veterans in our cities are our counties. Does our county and does our city give veterans preferences? Does it? Our state does. Our state gives veterans preferences. The city and the county, I think, give preferences for hiring for veterans. But what about private businesses? Should private businesses give preferences for veterans? Yes. Yes, they should. And why? Because veterans have proven that they can be someplace, they can work, they can be trained, they can take leadership, or they are leaders, and that they can lead, and they can manage, and they can take orders. Why don't all of our businesses hire veterans? Why don't you make preferences out there? Why don't you reach out for veterans? And if you do, God bless you. And if you don't, why? We'll be right back after these messages. Call on the bot. KCNR, 1460.
If you take multiple prescriptions, you know the hassle of renewing prescriptions as they run out. Every prescription is another trip to the pharmacy. Oh, it could be 3 or 4 or 5 trips in a month. Now, Owens Pharmacy can make your life easier with MedSafe. It's a new service that adjusts your pill count so that all your prescriptions renew on the same day. One date to renew all your prescriptions for 30 or 90 days, and it's automatic. So you don't need to remember it, and you won't run out. Save time, save gas, save the hassle. Let us make your life easier. Call Owens Pharmacy today to sign up for MedSync. Imagine the time you'll save. Call 1-800-MY-OWENS, and we'll give you one less thing to remember. Owens Pharmacy, making your life easier.
Prepare for the coming summer with our winter special now through March at Sight for Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue, and save 50% on all sunglass frames. At Sight for Sore Eyes, we provide competitive prices and the personal service you can only get from a locally owned eye care professional. Right now, with your purchase of a complete pair of eyeglasses, we'll subtract $100, plus we'll give you a second pair of glasses absolutely free. This is a standalone offer not valid with any other offers, discounts, coupons, or insurance programs. Some restrictions apply. Please see our store for complete details. Sight for Sore Eyes has same-day service, precision-crafted lenses, and a large selection of stylish designer frames. Or if your budget is tight, we also have a large selection of budget-friendly frames. Fast, friendly service, reasonably priced eyewear, and veterans discounts are our specialty at Sight for Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue next to Leslie's Pools. We accept all current doctor's prescriptions, all major credit cards, and we do your insurance paperwork. Sight for Sore Eyes. Call for an appointment today.
Support the animals of Turtle Bay Exploration Park by making them an honorary part of your family with Turtle Bay's Adopt an Animal program. All animals need lots of love and support, and you can help. With 4 adoption levels to fit every price range, adopting an animal at Turtle Bay makes a great gift for the animal lover in your life. Support the animals of Turtle Bay with your honorary adoption today at the Turtle Bay Museum Store and Coffee Bar, or by visiting turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 with Carl and the Bot. Good morning. Hey, you know, Common Core has been a big thing here, and we've got our next guest, Bill Evers from Hoover Institute, is an expert on this. Good morning, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Bill, I think one of the comments you made said is the Common Core's designers have taken the existing bureaucracy and increased the centralization and uniformity, and by creating these standards behind closed doors, they increased the alienation of the public from schools. Can we talk about that?
Yes, I think that's correct. So we have, going back to the earliest days of the United States, a lot of public sentiment that's friendly to the public schools and views them as extensions of our families and our neighborhoods, something very close to us. And back in those early days, the public was very closely involved, and it managed, you know, local communities managed the schools. And since then, we've seen more and more power go to state capitals, so in California's case, Sacramento, and of course to Washington, D.C. And this Common Core National Curriculum Standards, in other words, saying what topics have to be covered in what grades, and what order, and often with what teaching techniques, and how math problems are supposed to be done, and all sorts of things that are messing up the lives of teachers and parents and students. It's coming from the national level now, and it was decided without the public, the general public, participating, really even knowing it was happening. And this has created discontent and alienation, and it drains the sentiment of loyalty and feeling that, you know, the public schools are something close to us.
And I think that with the bottom line on the Common Core, we say, well, we need to teach a different way because of different, you know, it's a different world now. But taking away the parents and the, you know, the people, you know, the people's right to have some input on this is, I agree with you, is just going to do nothing but keep, you know, is push parents away, and they're going to really start questioning what's happening here.
Well, I actually would challenge the claim of the proponents of Common Core that all these complicated ways of doing, we could go into English also, but the math problems are the most flagrant and obvious thing, where they're having people add and subtract on the number line. They're using making tens to do simple arithmetic operations. They're using lattices. All these complicated things, instead of teaching the standard way of doing problems that is reliable, that teachers can easily teach, children can learn, it's harder to make mistakes, they're faster. They're all these long, when the many-step ways of doing problems, it harms the child's, and when that child grows into an adult, ability to, they're going to even start combining these things in incorrect ways, these different ways of solving the problem. They should learn the best way, and they should learn it in depth.
I think they've forgotten that simple adage of the simplest solution is usually the right solution.
Simpler solution, when it is in truth a solution, is the best way.
Yeah.
And that's why it has a long history of use. It's just, they believe that the only way you can understand what you're doing is to go through these complicated ways. But people who have taught, you know, addition and subtraction have also taught in the past things like, well, when you say, you think of the ones column or the tens column or the hundreds column, they have taught children about this. It's not that they need to go through these multi-step, unnecessary, and confusing ways to do it. And it's just, they don't have a research base. They never tried it anywhere before they impose it on us. To give you a somewhat more complicated example, there's a thing in geometry called similar and congruent triangles. And the method of you doing these problems is going to resonate with your listeners. Angle, side, angle, side, angle, side. Instead of doing it that way, they have a very complex procedure called rigid motion. If you were a math major at Stanford, it's a research university, you would learn, a math major, you would learn this in your junior year. This method of rigid motion has never been successfully used in K-12 education in all of American history. And they're imposing it on the whole country.
It's never been used successfully, and yet we're trying to teach it right now.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The teachers certainly don't know how to do it.
I love this. Hey, we're talking to
William Evers, who's a research fellow at Stanford University's Hoover Institution, but he's also was an assistant U.S. Secretary of Education for Planning, Education, and Policy Development from 2007 to 2009. Mr. Evers, you know, this, we're making this too hard. How do we take this back, or is it too late?
Well, there are states that have left that were sort of – the federal government pushed the states into doing this. It said, you know, we had already said you have to have some kind of test. They have to have some kind of standard that is list of topics and when they're taught. And California had its own, and California's standards were the best in the country. And they coerced us into, back in 2010, they coerced our state into becoming part of Common Core. But states, if they have the guts to do it, can back out. Indiana's backed out. Oklahoma's backed out. Quite a few states have backed out of the testing. And the thing will break apart if the testing, the national testing is not there, because the national testing is what polices the schools and the districts and the states are actually doing what the Common Core tells them to do. So it's crumbling. It's very much still there, but it's feeling pain right now. The Common Core.
Well, you can imagine we like that. We like it to feel pain.
Yeah, no, we want it to feel.
You know,
fall apart because that way we can take our schools back.
Hey, let me ask you a question here, Mr. Everson. Yes. This is completely off the subject, but the Department of Education in our country.
Right.
How important is it? Is this something that could be whittled down a lot?
Yes, I think so.
I mean,
it
was imposed on us.
Considering the federal aid to education law.
Uh-huh.
And there have been, so the bill that just came out yesterday out of the U.S. House of Representatives did a little bit to improve things, but it's a 616-page law.
Gosh.
Still imposing a huge number of expensive programs and supervision of our local schools. And it's, you know, you have to tell your member of Congress, your U.S. senator, you don't want this, or you want it radically cut down, and just, you know, maybe it started out in 1965 as a sort of a temporary measure to help the children as part of Lyndon Johnson's war on poverty. It expanded into a huge takeover effort by the federal government.
I know that,
and pushed back.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying here is that when you see things like Common Core and No Child Left Behind and Common Core here, that's taken away from the parents. And obviously, you are an educator. You've been in the business a long time. You know that when you see things like this happening, it must be so frustrating to you to see that, you know, that things that, you know, to help kids grow and help kids learn, it's doing the opposite.
Well, it's certainly doing the opposite in California. We had 2/3 of our children taking Algebra 1 in 8th grade. I don't want to say it was going perfectly, but it was, in terms of helping kids from Latino, African-American children, it was really the most successful effort we'd seen. And they've rolled that back so that now children are taking Algebra 1. In 9th grade.
Uh-huh.
So they're losing a grade of improvement that they had made in mathematics. I just think this is a crime against the opportunities for these children.
Well, I think you're right.
And it's really unforgivable. And we've seen districts, just regular districts, you know, Moss Beach, mm-hmm. along the Central Coast, or Palo Alto, very high-performing district. They've way reduced the number of kids that were taking Algebra 1 and 8th grade.
Hey, Mr. Evers,
how
can people get a hold of you or see what you've been writing? Because you've got some great stuff here.
On the Hoover institution website, they can click on fellows, which is the name of the kind of position I hold, being somebody that's doing research.
Uh-huh.
And they can look up my name under my last name, Evers, E-V-E-R-S, and there will be links to things I've done, and they can Google me, either Williamson Evers, which is my full name, or Bill Evers. If they Google me, they'll see things by me. They'll probably see some attacks on me, too.
I tell you what, Mr. Evers has got a...
You can learn from what people attack you for, too.
Hey, you know what? You're judged by the strength of your enemies. Mr. Evers has got a lot of different great things about education about our children and about how to take back our education system. He's, again, a research fellow at Stanford University's Hoover Institution, and we sure appreciate you being with us today, sir, and it won't be the last time. Thank you very much. Okay, we're going to be right back after these messages. Carl Lindebach, KCNR, 1460.
Another winter storm with strong winds and Arctic temperatures is on its way to New England.
The biggest snows will be eastern and central Maine, much of New Hampshire, and about the eastern third to half of Massachusetts. And in some of the locations, we could see amounts in excess of a foot, especially near the coast of Maine and back in towards the Boston area.
And some parts of Massachusetts already have some 6 feet of snow on the ground from previous storms. Also at SRNnews.com, President Obama will host a summit on cybersecurity and consumer protection.
The summit, being held at Stanford University in California in the heart of Silicon Valley, is an effort by the White House to help shape public and private sector efforts to protect consumers and companies from growing cyber threats. After the summit, the president will host a roundtable discussion with business leaders.
It's White House correspondent Greg Cluxton. In Missoula, Montana, a homeowner is sentenced to 70 years for shooting and killing a German exchange student who was trespassing in his garage.
Independent of the sentence, the pain stays. And the loss is a feeling of 24/7.
The student's father, Salal Dady, said through an interpreter, although he feels justice was done, the pain of losing his son will not go away. The convicted man, Marcus Karma, cited Montana's Stand Your Ground law, but the judge said he was lying in wait and lured the trespasser into his garage. No homosexual marriages in some parts of Alabama, despite a federal court ruling yesterday. And Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore says only the Supreme Court has that much power.
Courts have historically recognized that marriage, and our definition of marriage, came from recognition that it came from a divine institution. It came from God.
That is Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore standing his ground, and this is SRN News.
You have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels, America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
The following is a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
When our daughter Emma was born, we took a look at our credit card debt. It was not a good situation. Finally, my wife Vicki said, call Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496.
We called them, they contacted all of our creditors, they stopped the collections calls, they got the interest reduced, and they put us on a plan for success.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496.
House and Senate Republicans are celebrating a big win, now calling on the president to approve construction of the Keystone XL pipeline. Meantime, a growing number of House conservatives say Senate GOP leaders should use the so-called nuclear option to force a vote on Homeland Security funding.
We're talking about a constitutional crisis.
Idaho's Ral Labrador says GOP leaders are allowing seven Democratic senators to block the Republican agenda.
We might as well just give them the chairmanships, give them the leadership of the Senate, and allow them to decide what the focus and the agenda for the American people is going
to
be.
So far, Senate Democrats have blocked three attempts to bring that bill to the floor because of their opposition to riders attacking the president's immigration plans.
That's SRN's Wally Hines. The Netherlands has extradited a Russian suspected of involvement in a huge data breach. That breach racked up hundreds of millions of dollars in losses over 7 years for U.S. companies. This is SRN News. There's not a lot going on right now at some West Coast shipping ports, which means those companies that need products for their businesses to run are running short on supplies and products. Furniture company president Martin Ploy.
You know, right now we're faced with a situation where we have over 70 containers either on the water or ready to be unloaded here, but we don't know when we're going to get them.
Furthermore, Ploy says a labor dispute at West Coast ports is causing problems for consumers, not just businesses.
It's obviously a delay in deliveries to our customers. And as patient as they may be, it's their customers that have lost patience.
The partial lockout at the ports is a result of an increasingly damaging labor dispute between dock workers and their employers. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average doing well in early trading. Right now, it is up by about 58 points. A high-tech NASDAQ doing well also, up by about 15. More details at srnnews.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It's Friday the 13th. I hope nobody's out there kind of concerned about that. We have proven that that is just a foibles, and there's no such thing as that, except I may not get a haircut today. 8:06 in the morning on today, the 13th of February. 605-4567 is our phone number, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Good morning, and good morning to Savannah.
Good morning.
And what's the weather? You know what? This is going to be one of those really, really beautiful weekends. Last weekend, we had 1,000 people, 500 brides out at Simpson University. It's pouring rain. And I was out there, I was watching them all with their little umbrellas up, waiting to sign up and come in. They rushed the doors a little bit early that day. But
We would probably,
I'm almost kind of happy it rained because there were so many people showed up. If we'd had like perfect weather and the people from the outlying districts had ridden the mules in, it could have been really harsh. So I'm just kidding about the outlying districts.
I'm like, what?
Coming in from Hayfort.
Well, it is going to be a beautiful week.
You know, Savannah, it's easy to get you going, isn't it? You know, because you start, what is he talking about? And then you just, you know.
I'm like, I fall for it each time. You've got
me. You
know,
it's true. You do. I have to really watch what I say. Yeah. You know, all you girls out there.
You're so trusting, Carl.
I have that type of face.
Yep.
Okay. All right. All right, hon. What is it?
It's 55 degrees right now. Going to get up to a high of 75 today with a low of 47. Saturday is going to be a high of 76, low of 47. And Sunday is going to be a high of 78, low of 47.
Low. Weather's always brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane, where our customers are warm friends. You know what? We're going to have to switch that one out here pretty soon, that our customers are cool. Mm-hmm. Locally owned and operated with, give them a call at 365-3793. They always give veterans and seniors discounts here. And this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends at Alliance Heating and Air. You know, Martin and his people can do nothing but give you great service. If you've got an emergency, they're there for you. They are there for you. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, any type of heating or cooling system. 20 years in the business, veteran-owned business, Alliance Heating and Air. We use them. We're very happy with Alliance Heating and Air. Give them a call at 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org. Common Core. I mean, just that, you know, it's kind of, I guess it's kind of cool that our next guest here from Simpson University, and in our last, gentleman that was on, was talking about, Bill Evers was talking about from Hoover Institution, which is part of Stanford, was talking about that. But we're here with friends from Simpson University here with Dr. Dale Copeland. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning.
Chief Academic Officer, or the Provost, as we say. Dr. John Ayabe, is that close enough, sir? Okay, I'm good. A history professor and one of the organizers of the 5th Annual Student Research Symposium, which is something we're going to be talking about here, along with other things. And then Melanie Schenck. Good morning, Melanie. You're here. She has a big smile on her face. A student research presenter at the symposium. That's cool.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Let's talk about the student research symposium. Now, who wants to talk about that? I know it's going to be it's next month,
yes.
And on Saturday, March the 7th, and Dr. Ayabe, talk to us about that.
Yeah, glad to. The student research symposium at Simpson, we're actually in our fifth year now. We started it in 2011. And the symposium is an opportunity for our undergraduate and graduate students to present the research that they're doing in typically in their classes. And it covers across the disciplines. We open it up to anybody who wants to present either a paper or a poster that they've done. And so it's a wonderful opportunity to have a day where we just celebrate the outstanding work that our students are doing in classes.
They are doing a lot of outstanding work, too. Can you give us some of the examples of what we're going to be hearing out there?
Sure. Again, this year we are drawing from a number of our departments. For example, we've got a couple of presenters from the history department. Melanie is one of them. We have a group of students that are going to be talking about outsourcing and as a movement from the business department. We've got individuals from cross-cultural studies and Spanish major, as well as accounting and biology, and a number from psychology as well doing presentations on the work that they have studied with their professors.
Okay, we have a number of going from nursing to psychology to all different types of different things, biology.
Mm-hmm.
Melanie here. Tell everybody what yours is about, what you're presenting there, because I think it's really cool.
Okay, yeah, sure. Well, the title of my research is Superman, the Face of American Patriotism During World War II.
And Superman.
Superman.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's a comic book character. It's pretty straightforward. It's about Superman and his origin and what he did to sort of revive the American spirit during World War II after the Great Depression when times were low, and how his invention affected the American spirit and how he, in a way, brought them out of that dark place that they were in.
Did it really work?
I think so.
That's
my thesis.
That's your thesis. Yeah. Well, who would want to argue against Superman? I mean, not me. I mean, it's been, so you studied the origins of Superman, and then was it Stan Lee, or who was it that started this? I mean, I don't think it was Stan Lee, but.
The original artist and writer were Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so.
I think Stan Lee was Spider-Man or something like that.
Marvel, anyway,
he's a Marvel guy. So what? Did you find out why they started him? What is the supposition behind Superman? Just bear with me here for a second. Was it because people were feeling helpless, and that they invented somebody that can stand there, leap tall buildings in a single bound and all this, but that would protect our country, or that would be that hero we needed right then?
You know, you could definitely say that. Superman was in its developing stages for quite a few years before he actually got into the comic book realm. And the idea really got developed in 1938 when he was first published in Action Comics. But Siegel and Shuster tried to sell him off to editors for a long time before that, and nobody wanted the idea. They thought it was too innovative. They didn't think that it really made sense. They didn't like the idea of a superhuman. So I really think that the nation really wasn't ready for the idea of a Superman. It wasn't until maybe the nation was at its lowest point that they realized that maybe they needed something superhuman, something super powerful that would take them out of that dark place that they were in. And that's when Superman really was someone powerful that a normal human or a normal American couldn't really be.
Did Superman represent the government as somebody that's going to rescue them and take care of them?
During that time, I would say no. He represented a normal American. He was the
American that can, a person that can take care of himself, but also other people.
Right.
And not necessarily a government entity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't mean to tie that in, but I mean, there's a lot of stuff you could do with this. And I'm really, at first when I read it, I went, Superman. And then when you think into it and the things you've been saying, Melanie, you're just, mm-hmm. I mean, you could really get deep into this one.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't just Superman. This is a whole thought of people at that time when it came to the front,
right,
that we needed help.
Yeah, and Melanie's work is actually quite innovative. She did this for a historiography class that we do in the history department, and the approach that she took was to look at, it's kind of a cultural history, looking at how popular media shapes and reflects the culture of the time, and looking at these comic book heroes and Superman in particular. She does a nice job of showing how, first coming out of the Depression, but then also as the war continues, World War II continues, how Superman begins to take on some of that persona and some of the mood of the country. And I think maybe you can even add to that.
Yeah, we need to take a quick break here. We'll be right back. I'm here with Simpson University with Dr. Gail Copeland, who is the provost out there, and Dr. John Ayabe, the history professor, one of the organizers of the 5th Annual Student Research Symposium, and Melanie Shank, who we've just put on the spot right away, talking about, she's one of the student research presenters, about Superman and his impact on society. And it appears that he did, and he has. And we're going to talk about something during the break, too. I'm just going to throw this out to you also that maybe we can talk about it when we come back. Carl Lindebach, KCNR 1460. I hope you're having a great day today on February the 13th, 8:16 in the morning, 55 degrees out there. It's going to be a beautiful day. We'll be right back.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Have you been curious about what all the excitement and discussion regarding the State of Jefferson's about? Well, come to the State of Jefferson Town Hall, Sunday, February 22nd at 2 p.m. Senior Citizens Hall, 2290 Benton Drive, Redding, California. Bring a friend. Have questions? Get answers. Come hear Mark Baird and the message that has ignited the North State.
The City of Redding Water Utility wants to help you save money and be water smart. Look at what's in your landscape and water according to the plant's needs. Shrubs and more established trees usually require less water than a lawn. Spread mulch around your plants and trees to increase the moisture retaining ability of the soil and prevent weeds. And while you're at it, adjust your irrigation controller. 4 5-minute sessions of watering may be much more efficient than watering for 20 consecutive minutes. Be water smart. Visit RedingUtilities.com for more information. This message brought to you by the City of Redding Water Utility.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Redding Yellow Cab, and we'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Redding Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county, no matter the hour. Call Redding Yellow Cab, and we will do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call us at 222-1234.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. And Carl and DeBott, and of course, Superman, the theme there. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Redding Crackmaster Windshield Repair. Jeff Wurst, veteran-owned business here, can fix anything from a chip to a crack over 24 inches in length, and he is a man of integrity. If you can't fix it, he'll just tell you that. He's not going to waste your time or money. Give him a call at 241-8373 or stop by 3208 Market Street right here in Redding. Redding Crackmaster Windshield Repair. He repaired like a 12-inch crack in my windshield like 6 years ago, and you can't even see it. It's been 6 years. I mean, that tells you something. Hey, I'm here today with our friends from Simpson University, Dr. Gail Copeland, who is the provost out there. We're going to get to her in a second about provosting. Dr. John Ayabe, history professor, one of the organizers of the 5th Annual Student Research Symposium, which is going to be March 7th. And, you know, frankly, that sounds like, people go, No, this sounds pretty interesting because I've seen the subjects you've got out there. Mm-hmm. And Melanie Shank, who is one of the student presenters, and we're just stealing everything she's going to present here because she's talking about Superman. And Dr. Copeland had a good question. You know, Superman came to our country in 1938. You know, they've been trying to sell him, you know, the originators were trying to sell him for years and they couldn't do it. But it was the right time. People, they felt like, okay, the people need somebody that's out there that has these superpowers that it kind of makes people, I think, wanted to identify with them is that, you know, as bad as it is, you know, here's somebody that can do things and make a change. Do we need a Superman today? I mean, is it? Have you drawn any parallels there at all?
You know, a little bit. You could say that popular media reflects the needs and desires of this society. And you wonder with all of the movies coming out with Marvel heroes, with DC Comics heroes,
yeah.
So many. You wonder if that is maybe an underlying need of the country, of the American citizens. Do they need someone to rescue them? And that's something that I've wrestled with also, because it's a lot more obvious, I think, during the time of World War II and the Great Depression. And it just makes you wonder if that is something that exists today.
American Sniper.
Right.
A hero, but a real person. Mm-hmm. Is this something that people are looking for? This man that that conducted war, and he was very good at what he did. Saved, you know, though he took lives, he saved countless lives. It's set a record as far as people seeing it. Some people see it a couple of times, and it's almost like a heroic tragedy. Mm. That but is he a hero? He's a real life, flesh and blood guy. Is this something America's looking for? I know that's not in your research, but you research heroes. That's what you're researching,
right? Mm-hmm. And I did, and I saw the American Sniper movie, and I read parts of the book, and his story is just absolutely amazing. But I think, if anything, it's just good for Americans to see the work that those heroes are doing outside of the country, especially in the Middle East. People like Chris Kyle, who are doing all of these things. You know, he has regrets in his life, but he believes that he's doing the best for the country and for the people in it, even though he may not, he doesn't like to kill people. But if it's putting the people in danger, then he's going to protect the nation, you know. And that's not in our face. We think that we're safe over here, and it's good sometimes for those stories to be brought to us for us to realize that there are dangers that these people are fighting for and that they're protecting us from.
Okay. I've been talking to Melanie Shank, mm-hmm. who is one of the student research presenters. How old are you, Melanie?
I'm 23.
23.
Yeah.
You know, there's hope for our country. I got Savannah over here at 24. I've got you at 23. There's hope. There's still hope. Okay, Dr. Gail Copeland. I mean, congratulations, by the way. You're very articulate. And you know, I really like the idea when you come up with something like that, you know, for your thesis and how you defend it and how you talk about it. I mean, it's obvious that you. You know, you just didn't read comic books, though. It was probably, you know,
she carries part of it.
She just carries them into the room. I'm sorry, I'm doing some research here. You know, I tried to use that. Never worked for my parents. Okay. Dr. Gail Copeland, who is the provost. So what's provosting like? And what is provosting? Provost?
I've never been asked that question before. Actually, I'm asked that frequently. And let me just share a little anecdote. When I was offered the position and accepted the position of provost, I called my mom, who lives down in Fresno, California, and I said, "Mom, I'm going to Simpson University. I'm going to be a provost." And she asked the same question, "What's a provost?"
Doesn't have anything to do with the security on the campus, right?
Sometimes. But so she looked up in the dictionary and saw that it was a military governor of a military prison.
See, that's what I was thinking there.
And so, I thought, wow. Sometimes there are striking similarities. But and particularly with these folk here, I don't want to suggest anything really in that way. Really, a provost is one who is oversees all of the academic endeavors in a university. And particularly with Simpson, I oversee all the academic programs, both graduate, undergraduate, non-traditional. But I also oversee the student development side of the university. And so I'm more in an empowering situation where I have an opportunity to empower other people to be better than they think they can be.
Okay. Now, you're kind of like you're overseeing all those programs. So you also are making helping to make the strategic decisions here for Simpson. I know Simpson is changing and reaching out to our community in a lot of different ways and is enhancing. We had Mark LaSalle on the other day, who is head of the EDC, the Economic Development Corporation, here in town, and they they're here to bring businesses in. One of the things he said that these businesses are looking for, one of the main three things, is an educated workforce. Mm-hmm. I've been fortunate enough to be working on a committee with Simpson here with a number of other people from our business community and in Reading. And one of the things that I've noticed is you're very, very flexible on how things you're offering and how you're reaching out and to do things like this. So the strategic goals of or your top initiatives you have at Simpson here for, say, the next 4 or 5 years?
Well, we have two that are already well underway. One is a biotechnology major that we are going to be rolling out in the fall of 2016. And this is really not only a strategic initiative, but it's also very innovative and very cutting-edge thinking. In fact, we are a member, Simpson is a member of the Council of Colleges and Christian Colleges and Universities, CCCU. Mm-hmm. And we are the only university, CCCU university on the West Coast that's going to be offering a biotechnology degree.
And what exactly is a biotechnology degree?
What this is most recently we had a case of Ebola. Right, and so people are trying to figure out how do we create an immunization, inoculation. How do we address this rapid disease that's killing people everywhere? Biotech firms take technology and manipulate the bio stuff. Sorry, I'm not a bio professor.
Well, no, I understand what you're talking about. You're there doing experimenting with and finding. Cures and everything through technology.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And through the normal bio stuff. So.
Biology into that. Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's cool. A great one. The second one that we have is we will be in the fall opening a startup, sort of a startup campus down in the Woodland, Sacramento area,
right,
where we're going to be offering some of our seminary courses and program there to people in the local community. But we also are going to be piloting a couple of our adult study programs down in the Woodland area. And what we want to do is to actually capitalize on the mission of Simpson, which is to be a gateway to world service. And so we need to involve and engross our community in Reading, but we also need to go beyond Reading. And so we're looking down into the Woodland area.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's you go where there's the need. I mean, that's what you do with worldwide programs, too. One of the things that computers, and IT technology is so much. Courses on, on the what is it?
Online.
Well, it's on. No, that's something separate. No, I'm just trying to find this word for when you're writing code writing, and all these. I mean, these are jobs that people can. They walk out of there and they're making $60,000 a year. Is Simpson leaning into that direction more? Pushing some IT stuff also, where people can get a degree in information technology,
information systems,
okay. Information technology. In this, I know that you give really good classes in it because I've taken them, where it teaches you how to.
Thank
use.
You.
Well, no, I mean I've taken. take, I mean, frankly, of several classes that, you know, I take over the years and things, this is one of the most helpful, and I keep the book in my office.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, it teaches you how to do a lot of great things, and it was a good instructor there. I'm very happy with that class.
Well, what we're doing is we're trying to stay ahead of the curve, because there's a tendency in higher education to react and respond, and so there's a need to have computer coding, and so everyone quickly, back in the 90s in particular, put computer science degrees out there,
mm-hmm.
And then they started moving towards information systems. All of those are great, but what we're trying to do is to integrate and information systems into different majors. And so what you see is a biotechnology where you have a degree that's also very much a person is trained in information systems.
So they can use their degree
absolutely.
And use it with the latest technology.
Absolutely. And so we don't want to limit someone, because if you're just going into information systems, the student today who comes to university knows so much more about computers and so on, and things are changing so fast that by the time a person would start a degree in information systems and finished it, the change in the knowledge base of information systems would be amazing over the four-year period.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And so it's better, it seems to us, to have information systems integrated into academic majors, so there is a focus on the training of the content, but then they can also do, they have option and do other things.
That's a good idea, because that information systems was part of getting a teaching credential,
mm-hmm.
but you need to use that. So
absolutely.
Okay, hey, we're going to take a quick break here. We've got Dr. Gail Copeland here, Dr. John Ayabe. You know what? It's written right here, and I've only said it 12 times already. So good. And Melanie Shank, who is here, is and put down the comic book, and she's doing more research right here on Superman. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 17 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta County. We've been blessed with over 4,000 customers that have chosen us to be their propane supplier. Our motto is, our customers are warm friends. Speaking of warm, summer is gone and fall is here. Now is the time to consider your propane service for this upcoming winter and give us a call at 365-3793. The price difference could be significant between companies, but price should not be the only consideration. Safety is our first priority, so we perform safety checks when we set a new tank. If dealing with a locally owned, family-operated company is important to you, then please give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. Give us a call and let us call you one of our warm friends.
Hi, I'm Maria Roscoe. So many of you asked for it, and we listened. We value our guests' opinion and want you to have the gaming experience you asked for at Wind River Resort and Casino. Starting February 16th, some areas of the casino will now allow smoking. We still have an outstanding mix of slots to enjoy in our non-smoking enclosed gaming area. Plus, our hotel and all event rooms are still 100% non-smoking, as well as all eateries. If poker is your game, we offer a large non-smoking private poker room. And don't forget about our high-stakes bingo. If you like the anticipation and excitement of yelling bingo, our large capacity bingo room will continue to be non-smoking for your comfort and entertainment. Remember, Wind River Resort and Casino will allow smoking on the main floor starting February 16th. We appreciate your support through the years and hope to see you soon. For more details, please log on to windriver.com. And remember, it's better on the river.
Prepare for the coming summer with our winter special now through March at Sight for Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue, and save 50% on all sunglass frames. At Sight for Sore Eyes, we provide competitive prices and the personal service you can only get from a locally owned eye care professional. Right now, with your purchase of a complete pair of eyeglasses, we'll subtract $100, plus we'll give you a second pair of glasses absolutely free. This is a standalone offer, not valid with any other offers, discounts, coupons, or insurance programs. Some restrictions apply. Please see our store store for complete details. Sight for Sore Eyes has same-day service, precision-crafted lenses, and a large selection of stylish designer frames. Or if your budget is tight, we also have a large selection of budget-friendly frames. Fast, friendly service, reasonably priced eyewear, and veterans discounts are our specialty at Sight for Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue next to Leslie's Pools. We accept all current doctor's prescriptions, all major credit cards, and we do your insurance paperwork. Sight for Sore Eyes. Call for an appointment today.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is 8:33 in the morning. Last night, Linda on the spot with Linda Bott gave away a $2,500 honeymoon package to a bride, or a soon-to-be bride, that was at the Simpson University out there at the bridal show this weekend, and her name was drawn. And Savannah was, you know, was here, and we called, and they called the young lady, and she was at home, and they said, "You just won a $2,500 cruise, Mexican Riviera cruise," and screaming and yelling going on. I couldn't tell if it was Linda at first because, you know, Linda gets excited about giving away things like that. But obviously the young lady, Ms. Ingram, I think that was her last name. What was it there, Savannah?
Irwin.
What was her first name?
Stacy Irwin
won this huge package down there from the Don Shulman and the people putting on the bridal show. She sounded like she was excited, as did her fiance.
Yes. I think his fiance was like, okay, it was worth it.
Yeah, okay. You know, yeah, because you drugged me through this thing for 3 hours. Yep. And, you know, but guess what? Now we're going to the, you know.
It was exciting.
It was exciting.
I called her, and Linda said, "You have to call her, but you can't tell her who you are." So I was like, okay. I'm like, "Hi, Stacy. I have a surprise for you. I'm going to put you on hold." And she was like, "Okay."
I mean, people calling you up, you know, "Hey, I've got a surprise for you." You think it's somebody, you know, some 900 number or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, but it worked out great.
It worked out wonderful.
Hey, congratulations, Stacy Irwin. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue, Man's Last Stronghold. Great haircuts. It's the Cheers of Barbershops. Discounts for seniors and veterans down at Cypress Square Barbershop. Go down and get your haircut today. There's no bad luck associated with this. I don't care what Savannah thinks. I'm here with my friends from Simpson University, Dr. Gail Copeland, the Chief Academic Officer, also called the Provost. It has nothing to do with keeping people in jail.
That's correct.
Dr. John Ayabe, History Professor and Organizer of the 5th Annual Student Research Symposium, and Melanie Shank, who is a very articulate student down there, a fifth-year senior, who is did her thesis on Superman. And it's just, I mean, oh, really, we could go on and on because Superman is such a symbolic presence. And you know, people maybe are, you know, looking for a hero and those kind of things. Okay, last question for you, Dr. Copeland. When we start talking about we talk about where Simpson is going to, higher education, are we going to see what's going on in there? Are we going to see smaller campuses, more online, or campuses, maybe more diverse campuses? What?
Yes.
Oh, good. I was glad. Okay, now moving right on.
All right. So. No, actually, there are lots of things happening across the country with regards to higher ed. Let me just name a couple of them. One is the federal government is establishing a lot of different requirements for colleges and universities to continue to function, some of which are a challenge to Christian colleges, universities such as Simpson. And so oftentimes we find ourselves battling for First Amendment rights, freedom of religion, with regards to certain anti-discrimination policies that the government has put forth. But we also, particularly with the federal government, are struggling now with challenges about how we can go forward to be online programs. The federal government is at odds with different state agencies now in terms of allowing each university within the state to have online programs where you draw students and faculty from other states. And so right now we're trying to figure out, along with other state universities and other states, how do we partner with states to allow students from, say, Nevada, Utah, Oregon, wherever, to take online courses with Simpson University, and how is that going to happen? And that's a challenge that's occurring right now.
Why is that such a problem?
Why is it a problem?
Don't I have the right, if I'm living in California, to take an online course from somebody in Massachusetts?
You would think so, but right now that's part of the federal government creep, if you will. They are putting a lot of additional challenges. And so, for example, to get permission, and I'm not going to use the exact figure, but if you wanted to take a course in Massachusetts, the Massachusetts university where you're going to take it has to pay California, let's say, $5,000 for the privilege of allowing students who are in California to take courses in Massachusetts. So we have some federal regulations.
I never knew that. That's the first time I've ever heard of that.
Yeah, we're still working on that.
That the state has to, you know, if the institution has to pay the feds, or no, or go back to another state because their students come from another state. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me like that. I mean, what about freedom of commerce and freedom of course, I don't have to pay. Well, I do pay for that because my tuition may be higher to make up for this.
Right, exactly.
So there's no such thing as free, right, Melanie?
Right.
Okay.
The other thing that we're facing are state budget cuts. So right now, for example, this California state legislature is debating whether or not they will continue to fund Cal Grants, which are financial aid packages to students who are coming from California who need financial aid. That's particularly important. In fact, we at Simpson have 47% of our students get Cal Grants. And we are the highest percentage-wide in the state of California who get Cal Grants. And that's particularly important for the students who are in Shasta County because we need that help because we have a propensity to have a lot of first-generation students who need additional help. So that's a challenge legally, politically.
Well, you know what? That's one of the things, too, is when you think, private colleges or universities, it's expensive. That the fact is that with the grants that are out there and the help that Simpson gives to their students, I mean, your average cost for a student is below state university, college, because you've got more things out there that you can help with.
Right, financial aid.
And a lot of people don't understand that.
Right, and we're also working at trying to get our students through in 4 years, in contrast to a lot of the state universities who, we may or may not have classes. And we're very cognizant of the importance of educating a well-rounded citizen. So we have a rather extensive liberal arts general education that all of our students are required to take, which is critical in terms of helping people be great citizens as well as servant leaders for the next century or the next generation.
Well, but that's important.
Absolutely.
And the whole thing, you know, you're trying to turn out a student that can operate in today's society.
Absolutely.
And be trained in today's society. And it's more than just, by rote.
Exactly.
And so, you know, and this thing, though, with the government, it is creeping in. Like I said, right before you all came on, we had a gentleman who writes about Common Core and how it's taken away the rights of parents to see what's going on. And the teaching methods are ones that have failed at the college level, and yet we're trying to teach fourth graders how to use this. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just incredibly, incredibly encroaching on our lives with the government. Maybe that's why we do need a Superman to stand up there and say, enough. I always wondered about that. You know, kryptonite, all those things. Mm-hmm. Okay, Dr. Copeland, I know Simpson is constantly reaching out and finding new ways, you know, online, like you said. But you know what? That was never addressed the other day. At least if it was, I was off in Neverland when we were talking about, what Simpson is doing to reach out. Mm-hmm. And that the problems that you have with the government, you have to pay. That they're putting roadblocks in front of education like this. Unless you probably played their game.
But in addition to that, one of the challenges, we have competitors that are for-profit online universities who have a different established financial base rather than being nonprofit Simpson. Mm-hmm. So that's an additional challenge that we're facing.
Yeah, do they have to do the same thing?
But they have the groundswell with regards to business support because they're for-profit. We are not.
I see. Okay. All right. Wow. You know, this is not the first time that John Ayabe has been on our show. Mm-hmm. In fact, we talked about it. I think you've been on before, and we talked about some of the work y'all were doing cleaning up the
Iron Mountain.
Yeah, Iron Mountain.
Yeah, yeah that was
and
last
the great
year.
Work. Yeah, the great work y'all are doing out there. I mean, your students finding ways to actually have microbes clean things up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's correct. That was Brian Hooker last year was on our on the show here talking about that. And this is that was one of the presenters from last year's symposium. And this year's symposium, we are, our theme is movements. And what we do with the symposium is come up with a theme, and we ask our students to think about how that topic might be addressed by their respective disciplines. And to piggyback on what Dr. Copeland was saying about a well-rounded education that we offer at Simpson, the symposium, I think, is a good example of that kind of an education, because we have representation from students in all the programs across the university, and it shows how the emphasis that we're placing, at least at the undergraduate level, on developing the whole person. And, you know, even though in this day and age where we're looking at people tend to look at college as a stepping stone to jobs and occupations, there's another aspect to the college experience that Simpson values, and that is to prepare students with the kind of critical thinking skills, writing skills, communication skills that they can take into the workplace no matter what occupation they're in. And given the fact that many people change occupations over the course of their working career, this kind of a broad-based education that we offer makes them more nimble to be able to move from job to job or even career to career.
And there's a lot of changing of jobs in today's society, too.
Absolutely.
I mean, right. my dad worked for a Swift & Company for 35 years. Retired from them, worked his way up the ladder and all that. They moved us around a lot, but there was a loyalty there by both the company, the company too, and from my father to the company. And is that gone now, would you say, for the most part?
Well, I think we find that that in the workplace, at least the studies that I've read and know about have suggested that people will change, I think, anywhere up to 6 or 7 times over the course of
their
working career. Maybe even higher now.
Yeah, it's actually moved up to 8 to 9.
Okay.
And sometimes it's in the same field, but just a
sometimes
different place.
Not. Well, the reason I asked you that, John, was the fact is that I think it's great if you're teaching our students and the graduates to be nimble, which is a great word, nimble, agile, to be able to move to move, you know, through society and through work, and to keep themselves employed and to keep growing is really important. Without that, they're not going to, or they'll get to a dead end, or their type of job is just going to go away.
Yeah, and that's one of the central elements of the liberal arts based education is to essentially teach the students how to learn, how to teach themselves,
how to keep going.
And the research that they're doing that's illustrated in the symposium, I think, is a testament to that aspect in our curriculum.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that when we get back. Carl Bott, and I'm here with Dr. John Ayabe, is one of the organizers of the 5th Annual Student Research Symposium, Dr. Gail Copeland, the provost out at Simpson University, and Melanie Shank, who started off our program on what she was presenting, which was Superman. And I if you didn't hear the first part, you need to go back and listen to it in the archives, because it was the story behind Superman and where it fits in our society and why it was there and what maybe why we need another one now. It was very interesting. We'll be right back.
If you take multiple prescriptions, you know the hassle of renewing prescriptions as they run out. Every prescription is another trip to the pharmacy. Oh, it could be 3 or 4 or 5 trips in a month. Now, Owens Pharmacy can make your life easier with MedSense. It's a new service that adjusts your pill count so that all your prescriptions renew on the same day. One date to renew all your prescriptions for 30 or 90 days, and it's automatic. So you don't need to remember it, and you won't run out. Save time, save gas, save the hassle. Let us make your life easier. Call Owens Pharmacy today to sign up for MedSync. Imagine the time you'll save. Call 1-800-MY-OWENS and we'll give you one less thing to remember. Owens Pharmacy, making your life easier.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. My wife Kathy and I are seeing a big drop in fuel costs, and a lot of our customers are seeing the difference in their fuel bills. We have a lot of you picking up ethanol-free 93 for all the chainsaws, weed eaters, and lawnmowers, thanks to Al's Saw Shop. Gary and Josh are the propane kings. They fill bottles like they're on a NASCAR circuit, no waiting. Johnny and Beth are still doing a lot of heater work, so call in and ask about the free estimate if you're thinking about trading up. Sherry is doing a bunch of pay-forward accounts, so give her a call, and that's working very well also. In Corning, see Robin. In Weaverville, talk to Joe. And in Redding, the rest of us. Northern Lights Energy, where real people still answer the phone. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
Hi, this is Erin.
And this is Bill.
We're back. We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream media soundbites this Sunday in our brand new time slot, noon to 2 p.m.
We're back on the radio thanks to our many loyal listeners and new sponsors. Even our website has a new look. Check it out, wethepeopleradio.us.
We heard from all of you here locally in the KCNR listening area and the folks who listen online at wethepeopleradio.us. Span the globe. London, Israel, South Korea, lots of folks around the United States. They've sent us many programs we can't wait to do.
You know, for almost 4 years, we've spoken to famous and not so famous people from around the world who bring a perspective of limited constitutional government, fiscal responsibility, free markets, and common sense.
Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us for extensive archives and upcoming show information.
It's the most fun you can have with topics that will make your blood boil.
We the People, now on Sundays from noon to 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Yeah, we need a hero out there. Good morning. It is Friday the 13th. It is 10 minutes till 9 on today, Friday. I hope everybody's got a great weekend planned. A lot of stuff going on. 605-4567 is our phone number, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. And we're here with Simpson University. And one of the things I wanted to talk about is that all the things they have going this weekend out at Simpson University. They have a 5K color splash run from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Runners get splashed with color, cornstarch, and food coloring. Okay, that's something. Maybe we'll do that in here. Maybe we'll do that in here one day. From 3 to 6 p.m., they have a community open house. Talk to the professors and staff from all the Simpson programs. A tailgate party from 3 to 6 p.m. and family-friendly event before the basketball game featuring food trucks and carnival games. A women's basketball at 5 and men's basketball at 7. The men's team is currently 7-0 in the California Pacific Conference play. Wow. Are you on the, you're on the basketball team, aren't you?
As of last night, actually, the boys are 7-1, but still a great record.
Well, this came in yesterday. Okay. Yeah. This came in yesterday, so they're 7-1. All right.
But I am on the basketball team.
And you are. Okay, what position do you play?
I'm a shooting guard.
A shooting guard.
Yes.
I mean, this is Melanie Shank, who is a student research presenter at the symposium. Do you find yourself stronger, you know, be able to leap tall buildings in a single bound or, you know?
Yeah, after my research of Superman, yeah.
Yeah, faster than a speeding bullet?
Yeah.
You know, more powerful than a
locomotive?
Locomotive.
Yes. Definitely.
Okay, I just want to make sure. And I'm here, of course, with Dr. Gail Copeland, provost out at Simpson University, and Dr. John Ayabe, history professor and one of the organizers out there. We're talking about the symposium itself. There's some really great, great things that are happening here. And one of my, I mean, it just smacked me in the face when I was looking at it. And I know you're not, I know I'm not going to ask about every one of them because nobody could be an expert on all of them. 67 words that changed the world.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about the Balfour Declaration.
Yes.
And how long has that been around? I mean, can I even ask that to you? I mean, I just said I wasn't going to ask you questions, and I just did.
Yeah, you know, that goes back to the 1920s, and this was this particular paper by this student is a historiography paper. This was a paper that was done that examines how historians have interpreted the Balfour Declaration in relationship to Israel and the Palestinian conflict.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. And they're still using something from then. Is it still good? Yeah. I mean, is it something that people shouldn't pay that much attention to? Or,
well, that,
or do I need to go and listen to this?
You'd have to come and listen to Eric. Yeah, he looks at over the 20th century, looking at different perspectives on how that document was interpreted, because it was looked at through the 20th century as sort of the mandate for how Israel would be formed in the Palestinian territory. And he looks at it from different perspectives and why historians and scholars have how they've interpreted and why they've interpreted it the way they have, which is the nature of a historiography paper.
Okay, I come to the symposium. What should I expect?
Well,
it's on March 5th, right?
7th, Saturday, March 7th. It begins at 10 o'clock. We start with an opening plenary session where we have a guest speaker. This year we have invited our own Edward Mooney, who is a new professor of education. And so he'll be delivering an opening address to all of the students and guests that are there. And then we break up the day into, I think there's four sessions this year. Mm-hmm. And at each session we have anywhere from 3 to 5 students present their research. In some cases, they're individual projects. In other cases, we put together a panel where students are speaking about a similar topic, and they present their work, and then we have a discussion that follows and open it up for the audience to ask them questions. I think Melanie is going to be on a panel as well with two other of our history students. So that goes on through the morning, and we break for lunch, and then we have two more sessions in the afternoon, and we also insert there a poster session. Some of the disciplines traditionally report their research by means of a poster rather than a paper, and so we have a poster session where we'll have posters set up in the room. The researchers will be there, and the audience and visitors are free to roam about and mingle and talk to the researchers, you know, one-on-one and about their respective projects.
I think that sounds like a pretty good time. It does, you know, they're talking about all different types of things here, in the poster abstracts or things like, same-sex parenting and its effects on children mm-hmm. is one of those. Gender differences in safe driving. I'm not going to go there. It's probably a good idea that you and I don't go there, John.
Probably not.
Because we've got shooting guards. We've got shooting guards or provost and a mountain climber here with us, and we could be hurt. Kangaroo care, the effects of skin-to-skin contact on premature infant development. Mm-hmm. It sounds like, and I'm not just saying this, but this sounds like some pretty interesting topics there, especially when you get into, things like that Melanie did. And Theodore Roosevelt, which people always mm-hmm. think of him as a conservative, warrior, which he was,
yes.
but he was also very much a progressive.
Very much so.
And busted unions. He busted monopolies.
Yes.
And and to make to have the country move forward. A lot of people don't realize that unless you study Theodore Roosevelt, which I have done over the years.
Yeah, some see him as one of the first of the progressives and as a Republican moving the country in a more progressive direction that way with reform.
One of the biggest mistakes he said he ever made was when he said he wouldn't run for office again mm-hmm. after he was put in office after the other president was assassinated.
That's right.
And he didn't. But it was a huge mistake. He was a young man with all of his mm-hmm. faculties about him, and he could have run again and won.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing about this paper that you're referring to by one of our history students is he's looking, Justin Thomason is looking at the Christian influence of Roosevelt's early life and how that may have affected mm-hmm. His policies and his decisions as president. So,
well, I don't remember reading. I mean, I know that he was raised in a
Christian reform,
Christian reform family.
Reform.
Yeah, mm-hmm. so mm-hmm.
Sunday school teacher as well.
Right.
Yeah. Well.
Yep. And his father took him out into the city, and they helped. With.
One of the things he did was helping people mm-hmm. out there.
Yeah.
Part of that progressive movement to
that's right.
to help those people that were, child labor and all that. And he was a very interesting man. I think he would wear a cape today if he was back. I think we need somebody like Theodore Roosevelt that appeals to across both parties. I mean, they can fight for ideas of helping take care of people, but also for working for keeping our country strong and for business. He was a businessman mm-hmm. too. So mm-hmm. anyway, this sounds like a great time. And when's it start again?
It starts at 10 o'clock in the morning with the opening plenary session, and it'll run all day. And you can
March 7th.
Yeah, March 7th, and the evening before. If I can just make a
sure,
plug here,
absolutely.
The evening before March 6th, Friday night, the Simpson University Music Department is going to be holding a musical review featuring the chorale and mm-hmm. a number of their other musicians there. And that's actually a fundraiser. You can come and have dinner and a show for $25, or if you just want to hit the concert, it's $10. There's tickets available online. And that will feature our outstanding, one of our newer professors, Dr. Cyril Myers, who has done an outstanding job with our chorale. I think you'll enjoy that evening and then come back the next day for the symposium.
You know, there's so many things going on in our town, and, you know, I hate it when people say, "Oh, you know, the lack of intellectual pursuits here in the city of Readiness." I find that people that say that have got no idea. Mm-hmm. They must sit down and live with their parents, and but the parents make them stay in the basement as they sit down there in their bathrobe and Red Bull, because there are so many things going on. That's and right. Like just like the symposium, like the chamber music, like, you know, so many things that happen around here. So hey, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank
Dr.
you.
Gail Copeland, who is the provost out at Simpson University, Dr. John Ayabe, history professor, but one of the organizers of the 5th Annual Student Research Symposium. By the way, if you had a photo of you in like 5 different professions, I would have picked college professor. I don't mean that in a bad sense. And, of course, Melanie Shank, the shooting guard for the Simpson University basketball team, but what she's done is she's put together a research project on Superman and the effects of Superman on our culture back when they first came aboard in 1938. Sounds outstanding. Thank you so much for being here with us. And
thank you.
Monday, Reading Police Chief Rob Plutty is going to be back. We're going to discuss what he talked about Thursday. And the, you know, for certain things that maybe didn't get out or things that have to be explained just a little bit better. Everybody have a great weekend and start tuning into our show Saturday and Sunday. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you? And I'll keep this
world. The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
Alabama counties are issuing licenses for so-called same-sex marriages after a federal judge ordered Mobile County to do so and signaled that other counties should follow suit. Earlier, citing states' rights, Alabama's Chief Justice Roy Moore stepped in to block such marriages. A Russian suspected of involvement in a massive hack attack that cost American companies hundreds of millions of dollars over 7 years will face justice here in the U.S.
A Dutch Justice Ministry spokeswoman says Vladimir Drinkman has been flown out of the Netherlands 2 weeks after a court rejected his final attempt to prevent the extradition. Drinkman is one of 4 Russians and a Ukrainian charged in New Jersey with a sophisticated hack which netted at least 160 million credit and debit card numbers. U.S. attorneys have called the case the largest hacking and data breach ever prosecuted in the United States.
SRN's Jeremy House, also at SRNNews.com.